to get things from God, you got to walk clean and pure and holy before God. I don't think people know what it means to be holy. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So some boy and some girl, you know, they're going together and they can't keep their hands off each other and they're playing with each other and sometimes they even get in bed together. And they think they're going to get something from God? I got news for you. Not until you repent. In fact, I remember a young lady that used to work for me. She had been married and her husband divorced her. And she came to work for me a few years later. And we were talking one morning and she said, "Pastor, I heard you say so many times how you've heard the audible voice of God." She said, "I'd give anything to hear that voice." I said, "Well, just ask him and he will. He'll talk to you one day, and you know, at the right time. He just don't go around talking to somebody, just talk. When he talks, it's usually important, you know." So I said, "You know, just wait on him and praise him and worship him." And I said, "The day will come, you'll hear him." Well, a few months later, I came in one Monday morning and she was already here and she said, "Pastor, I heard God's voice this weekend." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." She said, "I didn't want to hear it." Oh, what are those kind of deals? She didn't want to hear it, huh? I said, "So will you share it with me?" She said, "Well, I really don't want to, but I will." I said, she said, "You know I have been married before." I said, "Yes, I know you were married before." So she said, "This young man that I've met," she said, "I had such a rotten deal with my other husband when he divorced me. I first thought I would never get married again under no conditions because I just thought all men are rotten." And so she says, "But this fine young man that goes to our church here, you know who he is." And she told me, and I said, "Oh yeah, he is a fine young man." Now he was in his 30s, mid-30s. He had never been married. But he was a fine young man. Clean and pure and a virgin. You know, 35-year-old virgin, you don't see many of them around, let me tell you for sure. But this young man was a clean, pure, holy young man that walked with God. And she was dating him. And she said, "We were sitting out on the lake or somewhere in the moonlight one night," said, "we're sitting there and I'm scooted all up against him, you know, and he's got his arm around me and we're talking and everything." Said, "He's just as nice a gentleman as I ever met in my life." And she said, "All of a sudden I began to go off on a mindset. I wonder what it would be like to go to bed with him." Now, how many of you know that's not exactly what we're supposed to be thinking about when we're with somebody we ain't married? But see, she had been married. He had never been married. So she knew what a sexual relationship was like with a husband that she loved. So she's thinking, "I wonder what it would be like." She said, "I thought that thought. I wonder what it would be like to go to bed with him." And she said, "All of a sudden, I heard these words. Elizabeth, stop it. You're sinning." Now, who do you think that was that spoke to her?
Daddy.
Daddy, that's right. And boy, she jumped right quick and scooted over to the other door. And he says, "Did I do something wrong?" And she says, "No, but I think I just need to sit over here for a little while." She was letting her mind run wild. Now, if she was married to him, that'd be okay. Being married and not being married is two different things. But people don't realize that that's just like another man, this pastor. And I've told this story. Some of you have heard this story. This pastor, him and his wife, they'd been married. He'd been to seminary and everything. He's a pastor, assistant pastor of a church and everything. And how many of you know that even assistant pastors in your church once in a while can have a problem with their wife? Do you know that you can have problems with a woman? Do you know that there's a man out there you can probably have a problem with? You know that? You know, that's why God told us to love each other, right? Because he knew what we're like. You know, we're not perfect, but he's working on us. You know, so anyway, he said that him and his wife got into a little disagreement, and of course, she left and went home to mother. And so he'd been by himself for a week or two, and she's over there at mother's house. And so anyway, he goes down to buy some groceries or something, and he runs into one of his old high school sweethearts. And when he gets, she says, "Oh, how are you doing today?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. So let's stop here and sit down at one of these tables and have something to drink and talk a little while." So, okay, and as they're talking, she says, "Where's your wife?" And he said, "Well, she went home to be with mother for a couple of weeks now, so she's over there." And said, "Well, I asked her, how about your husband?" She said, "Oh, I divorced him. I couldn't live with him. So I'm not married anymore." So So she said, they talked, sat there a little while, and all of a sudden she said, you know, why don't we just have dinner together? They ordered dinner. You know, they were in a little restaurant, and so they just ordered dinner, and they sat there and talked an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever. And then he said, she said, you know, why don't let's just go up to my apartment and talk? That should have been a red flag. But he went. And he went up there and he said, we're sitting on the couch together. Then she snuggled all up under me, you know, and then she's kind of kissing on me. And then in a few minutes, she's in the bedroom and she starts taking her clothes off. And he said, I'm in there and I'm start taking mine off. And he said, I hear this voice. John, do you know that what you're fixing to do is sin? He said, there ain't nobody in that room but her and me. And it wasn't her that said that. So he said, I put my clothes back on, and I told her I will never see you again. And he said, I left, went home, called my wife, I said, honey, you got to come home. He said, this is nonsense. And she did. Now, you see what kind of problems a man and wife can get into, and you see what kind of problem it can lead into. Now, this is a pastor of a church. Now, if God hadn't have spoken to him right there, you know what, in 5 minutes, you know where he'd have been? In that bed with that woman. He'd have been in that bed with that woman, and then he would have committed sin. In fact, technically speaking, had he already committed sin?
Yes,
according to God's word. He was already guilty of sin. He was committing adultery. He had already went there in his mind. There she is laying there in the bed with no clothes on. I'm guaranteed he's already gone there. You know, it's a done deal. In fact, I'll tell you a story about myself. I've learned from many years past that when a woman comes into church, there's only one place to look at a woman. You know where that is? That's right, in her eyes. You know why you always look at her in eyes? Because guess what? She's always looking at your eyes to see where you're looking. I've tried this over and over and over with numerous kind of women. And it's the same. They're all exactly the same. I mean, I may be walking down the street. There's a girl walking down the street, and I'm looking at her right in her eyes, and she's looking straight ahead, and all of a sudden she looks up. And if she looks up toward me, she's looking straight in my eyes. She may not look but a second. As soon as she sees I'm looking straight in her eyes, she'll look somewhere else. But she wants to know, what is this man interested in? Is he looking in my eyes, my face? Is he looking at my breasts, my bottom? What is he looking at? And that's how she will know how she can trust you, wherever you're looking. Well, I learned this lesson a long time ago, and so even when I was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher at Lakeland Baptist Church, I always looked at the women only in their eyes. One day, we were getting ready to go home after church, and my wife, we'd been married 20 or 25 years or something like this at the time, and she just scooted over against the seat right under my arm like she did when we were courting. You know, I thought, wow, what is this girl? Something wrong with this girl. You know, I mean, you do that when you first get married or whatever for a few years. Unfortunately, we don't stay that way forever, do we? You know, we take each other for granted. You know, we just jump in the car and, how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay, you know, or something. And instead of saying, hi, sweetheart, how are you doing this morning? Of course, when Cheryl walks in my office, I try to always tell her, wow, you look beautiful this morning. Sometimes I don't, but I try, don't I, honey? Well, this woman, the one I was married to, and she scooted over against me, I said, wow. I said, what's this all about, you know, this lovey-dovey stuff, you know? And she just looked me in the eye, and she said, I looked at her, and she said, I want you to know how much I love you. I said, well, okay, I love you too, you know. I said, what's the big deal? See, we fail to tell each other we love each other, do we not? Sure we do. You know, we get used to it and we fail to just, you know, to tell each other, hey, I love you. But we need to hear that, all of us, you know, especially the women. And so she said, you know Mrs. So-and-so? I said, well, of course I do. She said, you know, she's a very beautiful woman, isn't she? I said, yeah. She said, how would you rate her among all the women in the church? I said, the most beautiful. I said, not another woman in church more beautiful than that woman. She said, today I was in a Bible study class with that woman. And said, we were talking about sexual things from the Word of God. And she said, this woman came up and she said, Betty, I want to tell you something about your husband. She said, I walk in the aisles of this church and said, I watch the men here. And she said, most of the men undress me from the neck down and back up. Most of them never look at me in the eye. Never. She said, "Your husband, I have observed him time and time again. And if I see him and I'm walking down and he turns to look at me, I'm always looking at him in his eyes," and said, "I've never seen him look at me nowhere besides right in my eyes." She said, "I believe that your husband is so pure that if he was to walk in a room and I was in there and I was totally nude and the door closed and slammed shut and he couldn't get out and he turned and looked at me, I believe he would turn back around, take his coat off and walk up and hand it up to me so that he would not have to look upon my naked body." She said, that's the feelings I have for your husband. She said, you're very fortunate to have a husband that loves only you and has eyes for you. And that's when she snuggled up a little closer and said, "I really do love you." Well, see, every woman, is that what every woman wants her husband to be like? Yeah. I mean, after my wife died and God brought Cheryl to me as a new wife, I mean, I hope that she's never seen me looking at any woman anywhere besides in her eyes. I don't, do I? Yeah. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? She said, "I would slug you if you did." You see, every woman wants to be looked at in her eyes by her, actually by every man, but she only wants to be looked at other places by one man, her husband. Is that right? Yeah, by her husband. And that's the way we should be as men. You know, I mean, I can tell you, there's men that come up for us to pray for. When we get through praying for them, when we leave, Cheryl will say, "You know, that fourth guy, fifth guy, tenth guy, ninth guy, the one had the green shirt on or whatever, you know, did you know that he had a spirit of lust?" I said, "Well, I didn't see that." I said, "You picked up on it." She said, "The minute he walked up there, I could tell he had a spirit of lust." See, women are tuned into that. Sometimes she'll reach over and tell me, "You need to cast that spirit of lust out of him." Because if I don't cast that spirit of lust out of him, you know what's going to happen to him in the very near future if it's not already there? He's going to have prostate cancer. That's what brings on prostate cancer. A spirit of lust. If you can't control that spirit of lust, and God may give you 30 or 40 or 50 years before it happens to you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled "Long Life is Available Through Obedience," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. Again, www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.